Welcome to Younger But Wiser, a podcast that celebrates the wisdom of teen girls and how we as adults can learn from them. We'll talk about everything from perfectionism and failure to radical self-acceptance. We'll dive into what these young women might be nervous about losing as they get older, and even advice they have for us adults. I'm your host, Ripley Rader, fashion designer, CEO, and founder of Camp Rocky Road, a leadership camp for girls. I'm on a mission to inject our next generation of young women with unapologetic, grounded self-esteem. This pod is intended for mothers and daughters alike, and my hope is that you'll listen together, and who knows, maybe it'll even generate some interesting conversations. Every week, I'll interview a new fantastic young woman, talk about juicy topics ranging from self-care to the comparison game, and then jump into our know-it-all segment, where I ask the girls questions and hold space for honest, vulnerable answers. This podcast is our opportunity to offer a bridge between the generations, an opportunity for mothers and daughters to talk about something more than how school was today. It's a chance to really hear each other, whether you're 60 or 16. Join me as we get to know an army of women not afraid to stand out. Maya, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course.
I'm so honored you're here. I met you when Camp Rocky Road.
Mm-hmm.
So you were impressive at age 13 and 14, and you continue to impress me, to blow me away by the way you see the world, the way you live your life. I'm a huge fan, so I'm really, really honored that you're here today.
I'm an even bigger fan of you, so.
I'll take it. Okay. That's high praise coming from you. Before we begin, how old are you and what grade are you in?
I am 16 and I'm a rising senior this year. It's kind of a little bit wild, and I think my dad's cried a couple of times already. So
no, it's great. You're cooked. You're an adult. It's
basically
crazy. So I was excited to see what topic you wanted to dive into, and you chose radical self-acceptance, which I think is the heartbeat of it all. And so let's get started.
Yeah.
Okay. What is radical self-acceptance to you?
I think that radical self-acceptance is really the ability to look at yourself and be comfortable with who you are, and also be comfortable with knowing that who you are needs to change and will change. I think that radical self-acceptance gets sort of postured and weaponized to create a reason to stay stagnant and create a reason to be kind of mean or to be blind and unaware. And what I think it actually really means is the ability to see yourself as you are and as you, like, interact with other human beings, and to, like, make the changes necessary to, like, be the best version of yourself you can be.
That is your insight is such a good answer. Maya, your insight is extraordinary. I mean, did you always have this sort of, because you're an ex-camper at Camp Rocky Road, and you were 14 or 13, I believe, when you were at the camp. At that point in your life, was self-acceptance something that came really naturally to you? Is this something that you've had to work on in your life, or has it always sort of been there for you?
I think that there was something that you said that, like, I've remembered from, like, I want to say it was one of our first conversations. And you said something about, like, you don't have to, like, you can love yourself and you don't have to apologize for it. Like, you don't have to apologize for, like, thinking you're cool and, like, pretty. And, like, that doesn't, like, make, like, that makes you actually quite cool. And I think that that's really stuck with me because I think I've always been quite an intense person, and I've always been quite who I am. And I think that that can be difficult navigating, like, how how I've been able to express myself and what that means for other people, and like how to be myself in a way that like is also kind, I think.
Towards yourself.
Kind towards myself and like kind towards other people. And like, I think that I am quite opinionated, and I think sometimes that can come off as quite brash or rude when I'm just that isn't always what I mean to do. So I think like accepting that like the things that I feel and the things that I think and the way that I am is completely cool and okay. Like, and also there's like grace in that, and to like figure out like I know who I am and I know like what I need for myself. So like making sure that that is also in service to like my relationships with other people.
Right.
So that's been definitely a journey, I think.
Right. Cause I was wondering if this is something that is just a choice, or is it something that through experience you can gain a better sense of, yes, it's like you said earlier, grace, I messed up, but I know I can do better next time, or whatever that is. Because I do think when you were a little bit younger, I think that you understood that you were amazing, but you were, there was almost some like you were self-conscious about your awesomeness, sort of, and that you were, yeah. I think you would consider yourself over the top or something. And as you've gotten older, I've watched you sort of settle in. And with that energy, it's sort of this wonderful, it's like a love note to yourself. It feels that way to me. Do you have things that you do, or I guess the question is, how do you love yourself through it all? Like, what's the key, like for you, like when you do mess up or you have days where you don't feel loving to yourself, how do you turn that around for yourself?
I feel like it's definitely just little things. And like, I had a really big blowout fight with one of my good friends last night that ended in a lot of tears. And I think like knowing when, you know, in every single relationship I have in my life, knowing when like it's okay to apologize, and also knowing like when I've said something that I cannot back down from, and when my feelings are important and that I want them to maintain, and like doing the things in service of like keeping that. So like if I'm saying, hey, I want you to listen to me and this is important to me, then like backing that up with my own actions, I think like has been big, and like helping me just be okay with who I am and like be okay with being myself is like consistency in everything. Like, and knowing that if I want to be the person that I feel like I am, if I want to be, you know, strong, and if I want to be opinionated, and if I want to like believe in myself, then like that has to carry on. And like the practice of making sure that that carries on, like for every relationship I have in my life, and that includes with myself, and like, you know, taking care of myself, and like knowing that like when I need space, and like when I need to be with people, and like when I need to exercise, or when I need to like take a nice bath, and like showing up for myself just as much as I'm showing up for everybody else around me very consistently.
Yeah. There is a relationship between self-care and self-acceptance, because when you're tired and you haven't taken care of yourself, I think it's harder to have grace with yourself and be like, I'm amazing. I'm, you know, but I do think it's through those experiences of a fight with a best friend or standing within your own truth that makes you, it's like, it reminds you of the essence of who you are, what you value, and what's important to you. In your friend community or in your life, and as a teen girl, do you see girls accepting themselves, radically accepting themselves, or does it feel performative to you? Are they saying it and acting, you know, what's your experience with that?
I think it's definitely complicated. There's always the sort of like teenage like bullshit that just is there. And I also think that like sometimes people's like, this is my, I love myself, like again, can be used as a weapon.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
I think that a lot of the times people say, well, this is just who I am, so you have to accept the way I'm treating you because of that. Like, I've known plenty of people to be like, well, I'm just this way. I'm just, you know, this thing, so you cannot expect me to be any different because I love myself, so this is who I am, when like those traits and those things are actively hurting other people. And that, like, there's that becomes the self-love becomes a block in the road to continue working on yourself and to like continue being like a good and kind person. If that was actually one of the big like things in like my argument was this, well, this is just a habit that I've formed, so you can't expect me to change. And like, that's like, no, you can like accept that part of yourself, but like accepting it and then moving on from it is also part of self-acceptance and self-love. And like, there's definitely some people I think who like get it better than others. And I think it's definitely like a journey, and it depends on like where you are and the people you have around you. Like, that's big. Like, when you're a kid, it's a lot harder to choose your circles, and it's a lot harder to choose the people who are in your life. And like, I think there's definitely a roadblock there when people want, like, really do want to like actually love themselves. There's a lot of kind of outside forces that come with like being a teenager that like makes it quite difficult.
What I'm hearing, I love your insight on it. Because I think as adults, we forget that we have crafted our lives. Like, we have the freedom to craft our lives, our friends, our homes, our locations. And as a teenager, you don't have that.
What you got, and you don't get upset about it.
Yeah, exactly. But I think what I'm hearing from you when it comes to self-acceptance about yourself, or about other people's journeys about self-acceptance, is that within radical self-acceptance, there is a space for understanding that there is a responsibility in it to grow and to learn and to walk through the world a certain way. It's almost like what I'm hearing from you is that your idea of self-acceptance is this ever-moving, developing thing. Would you agree?
I think loving yourself is the commitment to the responsibility that you have to be the best version of yourself all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like you are able to communicate that with the people in your life? Like, is this like the norm? Are you just incredibly insightful? Like, do other people have this?
I think that it's, some people do, and like I've definitely had conversations with people who feel the same. I think there's often like the kind of like ability to get trapped in, well, this is what I think, but I don't want to do it. So yeah. And like, so I think it's complicated. I think that it's something that like has grown with, like, as people mature around me, I found it to get easier too. Like, I think that part of the reason that I've been able to like really accept myself in the past year or so, really, that is different from the way that I accepted myself when I was at your camp, is it does have a lot to do, like, unfortunately, with just like the people around me. And when people who are in your circle can also love themselves and can also accept themselves, like, it makes everything a lot easier. Like, once other people around you also mature, like, it makes maturing yourself a heck of a lot easier. And I think that's just like the unfortunate like thing of time.
It is. It's like the thing that you get quite a bit of insight as you get older, of course. But I think the interesting thing about it is that your dedication to that I've seen in your self-acceptance journey is you raise the people around you, you know, you dedicate yourself to this, and then the people around you are excited to watch it, inspired to watch it, and to do it themselves. But my question is, another question I have about it is that, like, can you think of, okay, so on days where you don't feel the self-love. Like on the days where that's the struggle, right? We all have those days. Are there things that you do that get you back to you?
Always like some really good, like Fiona Apple
and music
and like a bath. And then to like, I know that if I look my best, I feel my best. So sometimes like, I just need to like get dressed up, even if I'm not going anywhere, and like be like, feel like I look how I want to feel on the inside. And like, that really does make a difference. And that's not the same for everybody, but like, if I feel down about myself and my hair is greasy and I'm in bed in the same pajamas I've been wearing, like I feel like crap always. And that's like hard to get out of that. And I think just like the like practical steps of like getting ready, of like doing some yoga and like taking a shower and like doing my skincare and like doing my hair and like all the little things, putting on an outfit I enjoy, like all of those things help me feel like I'm curating the version of myself I want to be.
Yeah. So it's almost aspirational.
Yeah, those definitely.
Days. Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, if I don't feel the awesomest, like I have to continue to reach for it. And like, even if I don't feel that way on the inside, there's is like the bit of faking it till you make it.
Yeah. I think there's a level of faking it till you make it. I think that there's some power in that, because I think once you start the movement, I do believe the actual, if you're faking it, then the actual,
you catch up to yourself.
You catch up to yourself. It's like your better self and your former self. I mean, they sort of catch up to each other. And I do believe that it just takes this step though, of loving yourself, accepting yourself enough to take the first step in getting out of bed or having grace and saying, man, I really messed that conversation up. I'm going to do better. I'm going to say, I'm sorry and do better next time. Right. Mm-hmm. I could talk with you about this forever, but now it is time we switch gears and we jump to the second part of the podcast called the Know-It-All segment. Are you
That's
ready?
Me.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, yeah. We're all know-it-alls. We're going to wear crown proudly. Okay. Ready? First question. What is your superpower at this stage in your life?
I think that my superpower right now is that I think that being sort of on the cusp has given me a real, I guess, insight or ability to like do the sort of like Joni Mitchell both sides now. And I think that that gets lost when you're a kid, because you can't understand sort of what it means to be an adult in the same way. And there's this sort of like, I am always going to just know better and how dare you, whatever, which I definitely felt at moments. And then there's a sort of like haggering of growing into an adult that happens. And I feel like a sort of very, And I feel at a very cool place because I get to see both of that and I get to sort of exist in the middle. And I think that I have a real middle ground and an ability to be, just based on like where I am, to just empathize in a way that I think that you lose.
Jeez, it's quite the superpower, Maya. It is. It's very cool. Number two, what don't you want to lose as you get older and become an adult?
I don't want to lose something that I think I'm already pull into. Is honestly like a sort of, I feel like I know better than you based on any sort of age. Like, there's a sort of like, once you've been there, done that, it's easy to disregard people who haven't been through it yet and think that, well, I already did it. And I think that it's something that adults do all the time, which is they put themselves into the role. Like, they really project, like, well, this is who I was at this age, so how could you be or know anything different? And I think that I don't want to gain that same perspective, because it really hurt me in a lot of ways when I was interacting with teachers and you know, just adults in my life who weren't really there to watch me and were instead there to project advice. And I don't ever want to be that person because I don't think it's helpful.
I love that. What do you understand that adults don't think you do?
I think I just, in general, feel like it totally depends where you're at, but I think that individual experience plays so much into maturity. And I think that age is always but a number, but also creates almost like a stigma. I think that like there's a lack and a disregard and an uncaringness to like really explore somebody else's experience, and to let that color the maturity that you view them with versus to blanket statement. And I think that like just in general, I think that children are so much more insightful and so like know and listen so much more and like pick up on so much more than A, or they're given credit for, and B, like they're even like, I don't know, more than adults, I think, because you get so self-centered and you get so like, well, I know how this works, so I don't have to deal with it anymore. I know how this works, so like I'm done learning about it because I got it. And kids don't ever have that. Like, they just are like, well, I can always learn a new way to do this because I don't have it down yet. And I think that's really like quite awesome.
It's great, Maya. That's great. Okay, last question. What advice do you give your future self?
My advice to my future self is to not underestimate people and to really listen. I think that I know that I get kind of caught up. I'm doing an internship right now, working on creating and giving feedback to a sexual and reproductive health curriculum. And I'm working with a lot of kids who are in a completely different situation with me, are in similar situations to me. And I think that I've learned, one of the things that I've really been exposed to is that my real privilege above anything else is that I have the gift of having a family that cares about education and that has always given me room to be knowledgeable and that really values me giving my opinions, which is not something that other kids have in a lot of ways. And I think that really stepping aside and listening has been something that I've always kind of struggled with sometimes, and I don't want to kind of continue that, and I don't want to lose the ability to really like take other people's opinions into like real consideration, and to like know that other people's lives have, whether I agree with it or not, I've always colored a view that is important to the world because it probably relates to somebody else that I don't relate to. So,
woman, I'm so grateful for you. Your answers are just so, I mean, insightful seems cheap. I mean, you have extraordinary wisdom, and I feel so honored that you shared that with me and this podcast. And I'm so grateful you came on, and thank you so much. And we must do it again soon.
Absolutely.
You're amazing.
Frickin-lutely.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.